Perek Chelek.
The shir that somebody making a shalom zacher this Friday night, one of our chevrei hashir. His name is Danny. Help me out.
Well, I didn't have the baby.
What's his last name?
Noah.
Right.
Noah Magdalene.
Okay, fine. So, all right, you're Danny. He's Noah.
It's gonna be in my.
Okay,
right.
It's gonna be in his house.
Yeah.
Okay, and he just told me this 2 minutes ago, and I didn't remember it. But Lamaisa, so anybody who wants to go mitzad the shir. I'm a big talker, so I hope I can make it myself. But the Maisa, you might as well, you know, if you're up and around at that hour Friday night, so you could go mitzad, he's in the shul, and he's go mitzad, he's part of the shir. It'll be a chizik for him. What's his name again? Noach?
Noach Megan.
I'm not very good with names, so, but he's one of our regulars. So Gemara says like this, very interesting Gemara tonight. The Gemara that is it says a very powerful lesson. It's a famous lesson. But every time we see this Gemara over and over again, so we, you know, it's such a Gemara, it wakes us up. It's a very interesting one. Do you ever wonder? I mean, we always wondered. Paroi. So he saw a couple of simanim with the snake and the stick and the taras. There was a lot of room for him to be very skeptical about the whole thing. The haraya that you saw that the first few makis, his own, you know, kishif makis, his own people involved in witchcraft, were able to simulate the same thing. They were able to do it also, those makis. At some point down the road, Pari said, Etzbele Kimhi. I mean, he was makir, there's the Rabbi Shalom, and there's nothing else to talk about. But yet, we all know the famous question, so then why did Pyro give up? It was so obvious and clear, so why did he give up? And the answer is because Hashem took away his Bechir. I mean, the person gets a certain amount of chances. And at that point, it's Hashem hardened his heart. That means you don't get any more chances after a certain point. And all the big Bali Musa, everybody always talks about when they use that mushroom, about how you want to be like Pari? Don't want to be like Pari. And therefore, we have signs from Hashem sent constantly to Klal Yisrael as a Klal and to each one of us individually as a Prat. And the question is, Hashem is waiting to see if we're going to choose to be like Pari and just, you know, it could have happened, or to try to tune in and try to take the limud that's negayah to us, something we could get. So this Gemara has the same kind of thing with Nebuchadnezzar. It's a famous Gemara, but it brings a lot of questions to the surface. That it says like it four lines down, Tana Rabbanan, the base and base, from where it becomes wide. B'shoshi hipil Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. At the time when Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshan, into the fire, so now remember, we had the Gemara on Sunday night that we were talking about that there was an episode that took place during the time of Yechezkel HaNavi where he did Chias HaMeshen. And the question was, is which people did Yechezkel do Tchias HaMeshen to? One of the opinions in the Gemara was that it was this group of children in the Valley of Dura, that they were captives and they were very beautiful, and they were causing problems for the ladies, and they weren't able to control the different things in their minds and in their bodies, and therefore they sent messages to their husband, and Nebuchadnezzar had them killed. And even though they were dead, the Gemara tells us last we did it, that they still were very beautiful even in death. And the corpses were causing problems, that the wives were thinking about the corpses instead of their husbands. It was making major problems, so Nebuchadnezzar had them trampled on. That's what the Gemara we did on Sunday night. Now, at the time that Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshan Eish, so at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the same time, told, and that, if you'll take a look, took place in the Neil. If you look at Navi, it's in the Nil. And Hashem told Yechezkel to bring back the people that were killed, the children, these captives of Dura, of the Valley of Dura, bring them back to life at this point. Now, let's just understand what happened over here. This is not the first time that somebody was threatened and actually thrown into a Kivshon HaEsh. We had this before, way back in the times of Avraham Avinu. Now, it's interesting to note that everybody knows the story of Avraham Avinu with his father, with the idols, and Nimrod came and said, look, it's you or them, and threw him into the Kivshon HaEsh. But it's not brought down in the Chumash anywhere. It's hinted at, but it's not actually brought down. Akedah, it's a whole long, many, many psukim. All the other nishyonis that Avraham Avinu went through with the Avraham Malachim, with the four kings, the five kings, with light. Tremendous, tremendous psukim written on it. A lot of information, so to speak. And yet, when it comes to the Kivshon HaEsh, which is a story, any child, you go to any child who's learned Chumash, that means basically second grade and up, for sure Kita Gimel, you ask them about the story of Kivshon HaEsh, they will know it. Now, it's not written in the Torah, it's hinted at one or two places. And there are a lot of reasons why. But one of the yesodis that come out from this Gemara is, and I've said this before, that it's much, much easier for somebody to give their life al kiddush Hashem than for somebody to live his life al kiddush Hashem. That means like this: a person who's threatened could get up that courage, that guts, to take that plunge. He knows he's going to get roasted, but in a matter of 30, 40 seconds, it's all over. And then he's going to be up in Shemayim, and he's going to have his own canopy. And the people that were nearing al kiddush Hashem, which are right tachas kanfei Hashkena, for nitzchias, forever and ever. And therefore, he realizes that, look, his back is up against the wall. He knows that this is one of the Yehar Vayavas, he has to give his life for this. So he could get up the guts, close his eyes, hold his breath, and jump. Now, we should never be tested, and we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we daven Hashem not to put us into that Nisayon, because we don't know if we'll pass it. Like the Gemara Kedushin, the Gemara at the end of the Kedushin talks about playmoy with different Amorim that used to think that they could control the Yetzirah, and they used to challenge the Yetzirah. And unfortunately, a lot, the Gemara shows over there how the Yetzirah was able to connive this Gadol to do an Avera that was unfathomable. And that's because you're gonna go gear b'ini ha-satan, go stick arrows into the eyes of the satan, he'll figure out a way to outsmart you. See, we don't ask for the shaykhs, because no one knows if we could withstand them shaykhs. We don't know. We saw in last week's parsha, gracious, that Chanoch was killed at 365 years, Rashi says, was to protect him from going after the rishis that was going on in the world. And if Chanoch walked with Hashem, he was a tzaddik. And even him, Hashem was worried that maybe he would fall prey to the Yetzirah, so he took him after 365 years, even though in those days people were living into 800-900s. So we don't want the shaykhs. We don't know, we're not so sure that we could withstand the shaykhs. But Lamaisa, when it comes, people are able to go and get up that courage. We read about it and we read about it in books from just 60 years ago. How there are people who gave their lives al kiddush Hashem, regular, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And had they never had that sword to their neck, they wouldn't have had to do it. We never would have heard about them. They're regular people. It wasn't like Rabbi Chanan that was able to give his life al kiddush Hashem, and it was Yadua, what it's brought down over there on his way to get killed, that he was talking b'nichus. I mean, he wasn't even worried, because he knew this is what Hashem wanted, and goodbye. He said, let's make ourselves kabbanis so that our brothers in America won't get killed. Rabbi Chanan, you expect it from the big gedolim, but from regular, ordinary people, you don't expect it. You see, the biggest riot, we came to America in the early 1900s. How many people, I don't know if you're from America, but so many people are children of people who worked on Shabbos because they knew they were getting fired on Friday and they had to find a new job on Sunday. And they weren't able to handle it. And so many, the Rav couldn't withstand that Nisayan. Some were able to withstand it, but so many of them weren't able to withstand it. And Lamaisa, I hope they didn't kick him out. I don't know, I see him, I don't know, maybe we should have moved up a little. But Lamaisa, we see that we don't ask for Nisayanis, because no one knows what we can withstand. But Lamaisa, it's much easier to go and give your life a Kiddush Hashem, for someone to give his life a Kiddush Hashem, than to live your life a Kiddush Hashem. To live for a person to live his life a Kiddush Hashem, it means that he can't have Hesach Hadas for a second. You can't forget for one second, because we're always in a situation where we're making a Kiddush Hashem or a Chas V'Shalom Lahepach. Whether it be we're driving and we're annoyed at the guy in front of us going too slow, or somebody who took away one of our clients and now we lost money and we forget that Hashem did it, or someone that promised to come and do work for us in the house and didn't show up, we forget that there's a Rabbani Shalom. Every day, every single day, we are in a position to be Mechal Hashem Shemayim or be Mechal Hashem Shemayim. And therefore, it's so hard to be on top of our game 24/7, and it turns out that it's much easier for a person to give his life to die al Kiddush Hashem than to live al Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, the fact that Avraham Avinu maybe jumped into the Kiddush Hashem as great an ness as it was, but the fact that he was able to live with light and deal with the four kings and the five kings and all of the nishanis that he did mechayim to do a Kiddush Hashem Shemayim, to live al Kiddush Hashem Shemayim, was a much greater ness than anything that could have been done to give your life a Kiddush Hashem. Having said that, now juxtapose the Maisa with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What happened with them? They also were threatened. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know if you know the story, but in short, he basically made a little golden Zara there. And he said, you guys are going to bow down. He brought all the people around, all the ministers and everything. It was like the big show in the theater. Everybody gathered in the stadium to watch. And everybody assumed that they were going to bow down, because you got to be crazy. Once you give your life, in 2 seconds, you bow down, it's over and goodbye. And the Maisa, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, went into the Kibbutz of Eish, and the Pasuk says, tremendous Nisim happened. The Gemara is going to say, six Nisim happened from that one Maisa. Six separate miracles, Shaloi Kederach HaTeva, happened at that time. And it's amazing, because at this same time, while Nebuchadnezzar was in the middle of doing this terrible sin, Hashem told Yechezkel that those people that Nebuchadnezzar killed in the Valley of Dura and trampled on them, I want you to bring them back to life. So not only will Nebuchadnezzar have to sit witness in front of all of his ministers and everybody else that was watching, that was the equivalent to today's internet. Everybody knew about it. It was announced throughout the world that Nebuchadnezzar was going to make these three people bow down. Everybody knew. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with just that. He also created that on top of the fact that they would be in the Kiddush Hashem and not get hurt, but also the people that he killed, Nebuchadnezzar killed himself and had them trampled, Yechezkel would bring those same people back to life in front of Nebuchadnezzar. It was like a 1-2 punch, basically, to knock Nebuchadnezzar totally out. And what happened? The Gemara. Yeah.
Is the Kiddush measured by how many people know about the Kiddush Hashem, how many people see the Kiddush Hashem? Where is Kiddush Hashem measured? Shemayim is measured, or is it measured down here? Or like what you do create the Kiddush Hashem? You say that dying of Kiddush Hashem is so much, it's easier than living of Kiddush Hashem. When a person lives every single day and he gets to do one big Kiddush Hashem every single day for the next 50, 60 years, is that not as good as dying of Kiddush Hashem?
See, you ask a very complicated question, because the big Kiddush Hashem that you said, it's a very hard, from what I've heard from Avigdor Miller and over the years, the fact that you say good morning to somebody with a smile is the biggest Kiddush Hashem you could do. We take those things for granted. So we're not tuned in. So therefore, everything we're doing is on that level. It's harder. It's a much bigger thing. Right. Correct. It's a much bigger, it's a bigger thing, because when a person lives on Kiddush Hashem, there's a lot that happens. I didn't go on to say this because I was going to invite, but since you're asking, I'll take a minute. What happens when a person gives his life a Kiddush Hashem? What really happens is it makes that, let's talk tachlis. It happens. I'm all. So what's going to happen is like this. It's going to be in the headline for a week. A week later, it's going to be in the second page. On the Shloshim, it's going to be back on the headlines. Maybe. And then every Yahrzeit until we get bored of it. When a person is living on Kiddush Hashem, he's constantly creating more people that are then continuing their living on Kiddush Hashem. So basically, that's the direction you got to take it in, because all of their future diaries, if you call someone else, you went and gave tzedakah, and you happen to be having a hard time financially right now, and your friend knows about it, and he realized that they were bidding on the Kippur Hashana. You didn't say anything. And then afterwards he finds out that the Gambe that was doing the bidding, he really was doing your bid. You just wanted it done with sinner. You don't want people to know you were doing it. And it was going, yeah, you bought an Aliyah for a 2,500 shekel, and you really don't have the money right now because the times are hard. And then the guy finds out about it, okay? Now what happens is that this guy now, he looks at you differently, with much more respect, and he's very, wow. But at the same time, he also then looks at himself and says, so maybe I have to work, I have to do myself also differently. And then when he does something good, people see that and they're mushba from that. So it goes on and on and on. You know, that's what Avigdor Miller once said, that when he used to see the girl, who taught him when he was 5 or 6 years old to say thank you, he used to give her thanks, and the rest of his life, whenever he thought about it, he thought about her. He the schusen that lady has for Rav Avigdor Miller's whole life, his gratitude was enhanced when he showed appreciation because of that teacher that he had when he was 5 years old in Brookline, Massachusetts, in some day school someplace. And therefore, when this lady came up to Shemayim, she walked in and the whole place stood up for her. And she couldn't understand. You got the wrong person. I even did some affairs in my life. Tell me what you're doing. And they took out Rav Avigdor Miller and they showed, look, his HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had. And not only that, when he taught HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's tens of thousands of Talmidim through tapes and books and everything. It all was inspired because of a word that you said to him when he was 5.5 years old. And that's why it's very hard to measure these things. Yep. You know? Right. But Lamaisa, so it comes out over here that at the time, that Nebuchadnezzar sent Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah into the Kibbutz Aish. So Hashem said to Yechezkel, Lech v'hachim eishim bebikas dura. Kivon, Sheikhya Yisrael. So what happened? Yechezkel, I guess, snapped his fingers, however he did it, and then these corpses rose up and they became alive again. So what happened? So Bo Atsamais, the Tabku Loy Isi Rosh Alpanov. The bones from these living people that were brought back to life went flying through the air and hit Nebuchadnezzar on the head. Okay? That means how to understand it, but it basically means that these people that Nebuchadnezzar assumed were dead and he saw to it were dead showed up alive in front of him. Whether it actually means that it hit him in the face or not, I don't know, I'm not getting into right now, but what happened was the types of the words are the bones from these people came at him in the face. Basically, it made him realize that, hey, something's going on over here. So what happened? Nebuchadnezzar asked, Omar, he said, Mativan Shalilu, what's going on here? What's the nature of these things that are hitting me? Amulei Chavireim says, people told him, Shalilu Machaya Mason Babikas Dura. They said, oh, these are the people that you thought you killed, and then you trampled on them. So this is going on at the same time as he's making a whole theater over here of throwing them into the fire, and now he's sitting there and he's stuck because they're not dying. And not only that, we'll see in the Gemara later that everybody was able to view them walking around in the fire, not getting hurt. And we'll see that soon in the Gemara, today or next week. At the same exact time, now he's got himself something that he did do as King Nebuchadnezzar. He killed out a whole bunch of these people in the Valley of Dura. They're also coming back alive. And he was just like, he was left with nothing to say. Not what he was doing now was working. What he once did was being undone right in front of his eyes. So what else was there left for Nebuchadnezzar to do? He did the only thing that was left to do. Poshach va'omar. He opened his mouth and he started saying, Atusi kama revivim, v'temuhuli kama takifim. He says, how mighty are your wonders, how great are your signs. Machuse machus oilam, and your kingship is forever. V'chertune am dar v'dar. And it'll be for generations. He started giving praise to Hashem like nobody's business, because there was nothing else that could come out of his mouth other than total bittul to Hashem. Not what he was trying to do now was working, and not only that, but what he did a week before was being undone. People that he killed, he saw them dead, the corpses were there, coming back alive, and they hit him in the face. It was nothing left him to say. The only thing he could do was talk about the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing else. Amen, Yitzchak. So now the Gemara says a tremendous testimony. Yitzchak zov riteach l'tzeich pev. Pour molten lead into his mouth. Shaloise rosha. Shel mole lebo malach l'sitri al pev. If not for that, a malach came and clamped up Nebuchadnezzar's mouth. He would have put to shame all of the praise that David HaMelech wrote in Tehillim. Again, he started praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu because there was nothing else he could do. That Rabbi Yitzchak is made that if not for the fact that the Malach came and closed his mouth to prevent it from continue praising, he would have put to shame David HaMelech and all of his Sefer Tehillim. Now, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar over here. And what happened? What happened was that his evil deeds were not working out. He saw Yad Hashem. There was nothing else to explain it. So he had no choice. Back was against the wall. David HaMelech went and said praise from Ava. But David Hashem, Oyri V'yishi Mimira. What David said was Achashualti Meis Hashem Oisavagei. He had no complaints against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we say in Mizmor David, Gam Kielch V'Geitz Al Moves Lo'ira Rocky Ata Yimodi. That means David HaMelech in joy and David HaMelech in war knew nothing but Shvach of Kodesh Baruch Hu. If he won the battle, Hashem won the battle. If he lost the battle, that's what Hashem wanted. There was nothing. And he wrote a Sefer Tehillim and he sang praise. And it says tremendous things about Tehillim. And after all said and done, Nebuchadnezzar's one-liner, had he had a chance to continue one more line, would have put the whole Tehillim to shame. The whole Dovah Melech to shame. What's going on? And the funny thing is, it's not so funny, it's backwards. Like, think about it. So what should have been the next line in this Gemara? The next line should have been is that Nebuchadnezzar did Shuvah and he became the next God of Adar. That's what should have been. It's a no-brainer. But yet, Nebuchadnezzar was still Nebuchadnezzar when he was done. That's what it says over here in the Gemara. Roh Shivcha ala Yom HaShol Roh Yecheskel Mabuzi. The Shivcha saw by Kriyas Yamsov Nisan that Yecheskel Mabuzi never saw. But after seeing everything, she still remained a Shivcha, because she didn't change. She didn't change. She saw everything, and it didn't have a positive effect on her. It's an amazing limud we get from this Gemara. Things are happening in Keseda, and earth-shattering things are happening in Keseda. But we don't get caught, we don't realize it. And then I'm going to tell you one more thing. And then I'm going to tie it up at the end. Something that bothered me this week. We all know, you know, I do this from time to time because there's a lot of my Kabbalah, so current events. Everything that happens in the world, Hashem is doing for us to learn from Kol Peronis, Bala, Elam, Rakush, and Yisrael. Everything is for us. It doesn't take Einstein to figure out that it could be that there was an earthquake in Turkey because of the way Turkey is being noyed towards Klal Yisrael. Of late, they become very antagonistic. If you're following the news, it's to a point where apitevit doesn't make sense. Something is pushing the buttons shaloi kederach hateva. Now, we don't stop to think about it because we live in a world that things are happening so fast and furious that we don't even, we just, but when you really stop to think about it, nothing super duper happened. One little thing with a boat, with the apologize, don't apologize. It's ridiculous. Hashem is working the strings of everybody's puppets. So what's the whole idea? To bring Klal Yisrael to do tefillah. That's the chayra why things happen, right? Good? Now, did it work or not? I don't know. I don't know how many people stopped in their Shemoneh Esrei to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I'm going to be mechazik in my learning, mechazik in my tzedakah, mechazik in my chesed, just get the Turks away from here. They shouldn't bother Klal Yisrael. Leave the Eretz Yisrael alone, leave us alone. Most of us probably didn't do it once. Rabbi Avigdor Miller would have did it every single tefillah, but most of us didn't do it once. Okay? But assume, let's say we taka did it. Then what happens? Then we see the end of the story, and Hashem goes and creates an earthquake, right? So then, how many of us have said thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that? Nobody. So now, when you stop to think about it, what did we do? Not only didn't we say thank you, but what are we going to do now? We're going to go, and we're going to do mamish what the Yetzirah wants. You're going to say, you see that turkey? It started with Klal Yisrael. Hashem punishes you. That's a very nice thing to say. But the bottom line is that how much did we do in ourselves? How much did we do in our families? How much did we do in general to create that a Klal Yisrael should want to do that for us? Probably not very much. And yet, we take the credit for it, so to speak. It's a very funny thing. Because, again, that's just one of the many, many examples where we don't tune in, and there are so many things going on constantly. Another thing, we Baruch Hashem was zeicha recently, very recently, to have a dugma of Tchiyas HaMeisim in our time. A dugma. We saw someone who was Meshevi, totally locked away, and most of us were cynical as to thinking the possibility, is he even alive? Forget about getting him back. And if we get him back, who said he'll have 2 feet and 2 arms left? And to get back and be healthy, and it's such a nes niggle. It's all woven into Tana. It looks like there was negotiations, and it looks like it was this one giving in on this one giving in on that, but none of this is teva. This is all Yad Hashem begoli. Begoli mamish. Begoli mamish. Now, maybe this case, a lot of us did daven that he should, Baruch Hashem, see freedom. And it could be a lot of us have daven in the last few days of giving halal and shvach v'idah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know. But the
end. In addition to saying how stupid the mood was?
What?
In addition to saying how stupid the mood
was? We don't know. We don't even know that. That's the void, because we're just puppets here. We don't even know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting up for next week through this. And if we're not davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that whatever you're setting up for next week should either be good, or if it was bad, stop it. Because it's our tefillah that Hashem's waiting to see. So, are we getting caught up with the euphoria? Probably what's happening is all of this is happening. We get caught up with the regular hubbub of the day, and we mamish forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything. He put the thought leiv. Malach miyad Hashem. What does that mean? It means that they don't think. They don't think without Kosh Boko putting the thought into their heads. They don't think. What's going on? They don't think. They just negotiated a great deal. They did nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. This person had bechira to do it, do not to do it. He chose to do this and this and this. This we spoke about a few weeks ago with bechira. But the bottom line is we sitting in the audience have to see Yad Hashem. We have to be plugged into Yad Hashem. So what do? They're going to get a story like this. Now, 28 years ago, there was a guy in New York that went to the Lawrence River for a bracha, got a dollar bill. When they were 2 years ago by the family, a chizuk rally, they gave that dollar over and to give them chizuk. And then when the person was released from the captivity, and they took a look at the dollar, it said that date on the dollar from 28 years ago, the same date, a year. It was an amazing story, and everybody's talking about the whole mess. Yes.
Is it true?
I don't know, but the point is, why does it even happen? To make us forget about Hashem. This is my kabbalah from my
that makes us remember.
Yeah, you're right. But the bottom line is that what's happening is that, like you said, what's going to be next week because of this decision? What's going to be? There's so many unknowns. There's so much for us to daven for. But we don't do that even. Let's say it is Hashem. So did we go to Shemoneh Esrei, the next Shemoneh Esrei, and thank Hashem? No, because the story made us smile. We felt geschmack. But that's not the purpose of the Nes. The purpose of the Nes is to realize that Hashem is the Kol Yachal. He's the Eisu Masa. He does everything. That's the purpose of it. And if we would stay tuned in all the time, the clarity that we would have would be so much better. Because that's what the Gedolim. They were never fazed by things that we get fazed by. And the reason why is because there's a certain clarity. They're mechuyev to do certain things. You know, they're mechuyev to do certain things. That's the halacha. But they don't get, you know, there's not that getting, so to speak, like knocked out of the running. Because they live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have this, we see what goes on, the Nebuchadnezzar, Pari, they lost their ability to be Boichi B'Toyev. They couldn't. The Malach closed his mouth. Hashem hardened his heart by Pari. They weren't able to. They weren't, they had their chances and they lost it. But we, little pawns, watching this show called Life, like Avigdor Miller used to say, we have so many opportunities to applaud. But the applaud has to be towards tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we go to Shemoneh Esrei, we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, this happened. Oh, there's tremendous, tremendous things like that. And I'll tell you that I think that nowadays, Bafrat, this is the thing that the Yetzer Hara works on 24/7. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't. My chavrus in the morning, so his wife had a baby, and it was complications. And now the baby's 2 weeks old, still couldn't have the bris because it was a different complication. And everything else is like, so the guy is about tshuva. He's maybe learning for 2 years. He's really pretty fresh, hot off the press, basically. And the learning comes hard for him. He struggles. He's a good guy. But what happens, a guy will make a comment like, oh, it must be so hard for you. And the response back is, Hashem's running this, not me. Like, the tmimistic. Me, yeshiva boy, went to yeshiva his whole life, doesn't have an iota of that tmimus of this guy who just got on board 2 years ago. And it's something to envy, but something to learn from. To envy Stamazai is a waste of time. It's only kedai to envy if you learn from it. Can you say from it? How much I can learn from such a thing like that, to see that something that normally would just knock a guy out of business. This is what Hashem wants. What do you want from me? Like, it was a pashtus. He's my tati. He's taking care of me. What do you want? He'll take care of me. This is what we could do on a regular basis. Now, Lamaisha, just to end off, one of the reasons, I think, why we don't do it, I mean, this, I feel we have only a minute left. Rav Dan Segal, he's Mashkiach Shalayim, so he said over from, at a hesped that he gave for Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Rav Shlomo Zalman with Nifta, he said over a chizik there that he heard from Shlomo Zalman, that most of us want to go for the home run in Ruchnias also. We don't, we swing for the fences. We're not ready to just give a little bunt single to help the team. Most of us want to do get the grand slam. And what happens is that we don't realize that maybe our lot, maybe our chela could be this little nekuda, this little bit. And he said a marshal, a guy collecting a million shekel for a building for a meisid, came to two people. They both have a reaction. One guy's reaction is, I only have 10 shekel to give you, you need a million. He came to the wrong place. It's a joke. The other guy says, look, I only got 10 shekel. I know you need a million. But I want to have at least 10 shekels worth of a chelek. One guy gives his 10 shekel, one guy doesn't give his 10 shekel. It says Shlomo Zalman, this guy has 10 shekel chelek of a $1 million enterprise. And he's such a lucky man because he was willing to do that little shekel. The other guy wants to make a big ship, a big bang, do a big... So we go the same way. We're not happy with the small baby steps. We're waiting for the big thing. So what happens? The big thing comes along, and we say, Sanu, is it true? Is it written on the dollar? Because that sells books. It sells books. Such a story. It makes you read it. You want to read the article to the end. That's what you want to do. Oh, but the fact that maybe the limud that we could get from this, like he was saying, like now it's going to be next week because of this. We have to daven, because Hashem wants to see. If we're ready to daven and say, okay, you let the person free, Baruch Hashem, but now look, with Bisakana. Everybody's moidu with Bisakana. We have a bigger Sakana now. So now we have to daven even harder. Hashem, I'm davening harder. I'm going to add this extra tzedakah so that nothing comes bad because of this decision. But that doesn't sell books, because that's done quietly. No one knows about that story. We have to start realizing that those things are the main story. Not the big deal.
That people forget.
He always used to say that, and it's true. You see the Bali Musa talk about it. Things don't stay on the headlines for forever. They don't. They stay on the headlines for a day, a week, and then they go. You don't hear about them anymore.
You
that's what happens.
For that.
Because people life get busy with life.
New headlines.
What? New headlines. New headlines, right?